What I wanted to talk today is a little bit about context of the National Water Initiative for the sorts of things that Malcolm has been outlining for you, because one of the fundamentals of this new package in the Murray-Darling Basin is its linkage with the National Water Initiative, and one of the points I'll be trying to draw out is that there are not only a lot of linkages, but a lot of direct parallels and a lot of immediate ways that the NWI will be achieved through this new plan. I want also to talk about the water data issue that Malcolm touched on, which has been a big thing for the National Water Commission over the past year. Finally, I want to encourage us to think about some of the challenges in the Murray-Darling Basin, water management challenges in the Murray-Darling Basin that were there at the time the National Water Initiative was signed and which are still there now and therefore we'll need to deal with as a nation to settle. So I call the Murray-Darling Basin a big microcosm, if that's not a contradiction, of the NWI. We need in the Murray-Darling Basin to deal with all these things. Over-allocation, which the Prime Minister started with in his announcement, and it's certainly a big feature of what the Australian Government is trying to do. Introduce water trading, again, that's something that the National Water Commission has been plugging away at since our inception, because water trading is just so important for correct water allocation and so important as an outcome that we need to get from the National Water Initiative and from the National Plan for Water Security as well. In the Murray-Darling Basin, we need to continue to settle those secure water entitlements. Again, that was one of the underpinning reasons originally for the National Water Initiative. People, the more they poked at security of water entitlements, realised that that security wasn't anything as great as they had thought and as they had hoped, and the National Water Initiative is very much about introducing that security which needs to be there for all sorts of reasons. Utilising statutory water planning, what does that mean? It means giving legal force to those statutory water plans that the question was about earlier. The National Water Initiative tries to take good planning processes, NWI consistent planning processes, and giving them legal force. And that will need to apply in the basin, and it will need to apply in the Prime Minister's plan. Managing our surface water and groundwater conjunctively, we set out to do that in the NWI. It's an important part of the NWI. It's a priority this year for the National Water Commission in the same way that last year one of our special priorities was water data and water accounting, which I already promised or threatened you I'll talk about later. But that issue of managing groundwater conjunctively with surface water is something that isn't happening properly in the Murray-Darling Basin and is a direct objective of the National Water Initiative. Water for the environment. The NWI was very much about that. I'm sometimes asked, is the NWI a green document or a brown document? And it's neither, or it's both, because what it's trying to do is to establish the right of the environment to water at the same level as rights of consumptive users of water. Improving water accounting, I'll come to. The NWI is very much about water efficiency and innovation, and the MDB has plenty of scope, again, as Malcolm was bringing out, for significant improvements to water use efficiency. And there will be adjustment. There will be adjustment in the Murray-Darling Basin, and the NWI already provides a framework for dealing with that. So this slide is about what are we trying to do as a nation, as governments in the Murray-Darling Basin. And this slide is my list of some of the highlights. I think sometimes it's difficult to extract from the NWI what it is that, in those 40 pages of close type, what it is that it's all about. But that's one person's workmanlike list. The National Plan for Water Security itself, I want to put up now as that microcosm study of the NWI. And as the Prime Minister said, it's in four parts. modernising irrigation, addressing over-allocation, reform of MDB governance, and upgrading that water information and accounting. There is a little bit more, which is about Northern Australia and the Great Artesian Basin, but for today that's probably less relevant. So there are four parts to it, and all of them relate pretty closely to the NWI. Importantly, as I say at the bottom of that slide, the Prime Minister described it as accelerating the NWI, and that the NWI continues to be the blueprint for the Australian government, and indeed all governments have now signed on. There was, you might recall, some delay while Tasmania signed and later Western Australia signed, but all states and territories have now signed, and the NWI continues to be the blueprint for reform. This is a wall of words, and I apologise for that, but it's an extract from the NWI, and perhaps to make it a bit easier to read, I'll just pick out some of the key elements of it. Why did the parties agree to the NWI? They agreed because there was an objective to increase productivity and efficiency, that first bullet point there, of water use. A need to service rural and urban communities better with the water that is available. The need to do more about the health of our river systems and the health of and sustainability of our groundwater resources. The need to return all systems to environmentally sustainable levels of extraction. The need for, I'm now in the bottom paragraph, certainty and investment, certainty for investment and for the environment in the way that I was trying to describe earlier, equal status for both environmental users of water and consumptive users of water, and the need to deal with change responsibly and fairly. So what I'm doing there is just plucking out some of the key concepts that underpin the NWI, and that's another way of looking at the NWI and another prism to look at this new National Plan for Water Security as well. Now, this one looks even more formidable, and I've been counselled before today not to go through the right-hand column and tell you what each of those clauses means, but take my word for it, this is the definitive cross-referencing of the Prime Minister's four elements of the National Plan with the relevant clauses of the National Water Initiative. And I do that not just to be intellectually tidy, but to make this point, that all parties to the Murray-Darling Basin and all participants, including the Australian government, to the National Plan for Water Security will need to attend to each of those clauses. So each of those clauses have relevance to the left-hand column, and each of those clauses are binding commitments on the parties, and all parties are assessed by the National Water Commission from time to time about how they're performing against the NWI. The first of those assessments, the biennial assessments as they're called, after 2 years we'll be making our first report to COAG, and that will be in the middle of this year. Sometimes that's mixed up in the public or media mind with the National Competition Policy Assessment that the National Water Commission did last year. But it's quite different. What this is how are the parties going against their promises, against their undertakings in the National Water Initiative, and we're required under our Act to report to COAG. We hope that we'll do that in a constructive way, which doesn't mean we'll pull any punches. On the contrary, we'll be very direct. But what we do hope to do is to highlight for First Ministers in COAG suggestions about where there might be opportunities to accelerate or improve the rate of progress, particularly if things are lagging in a particular area of the NWI, what else could be done, and even possibly are there new agendas that need to be pursued. This is some fancy electronics now by my executive assistant, who would be very proud to see this go, and you'll see these lines zapping all over the page. What it is to make the point visually that the NWI and the National Plan have all those interlocking intersections that I was talking about before, and indeed that to achieve either the National Water Initiative or the National Plan, there needs to be action on both. So in the first instance here, modernising irrigation, one of the Prime Minister's four objectives, will be achieved through the left-hand column there by introducing those various NWI elements. Overallocation similarly. Again, I guess that's another way, a visual way of talking about the interlocking approach of the National Plan and the National Water Initiative, and that in each case, if you look down the columns, there is a mix of both outcomes. Example, secure water entitlements. That's one of the outcomes that the NWI is shooting for, and actions. And an example there would be, well, any of the verbs on the right-hand side, modernising irrigation, and so on. So in terms of working through both the National Plan and the NWI, certainly in the case of the NWI, the Commission is always careful to try to separate out the outcome, why are we doing this, what's the end result that we're striving for, from the actions, the particular work that we're undertaking. I said I'd talk about water data and accounting, and I do that because last year, 2006, the National Water Commission did a whole lot of things that it was required to do, but one thing that it took on as its special baby was water data and accounting. And I often used to say that it sounds as dull as dishwater. Who would take on water data and accounting? But all the feedback that the Commission had from stakeholders in the water sector was that this was one of the greatest practical obstacles to better water management in Australia. Unless we have information about where the water is, who owns it, what it's being used for, what its state of health is, what projections there might be, you can't possibly manage water in the better way that the NWI envisages. The NWI is essentially a blueprint for better water management in Australia. And as the saying goes, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So it was very much a priority, and we're delighted that's now on track, not only in the Murray-Darling Basin through the Prime Minister's package, but right across Australia. And $480 million is more than we had dared to hope for as a fix for this. So I think we've made an historic breakthrough as a nation in tackling these apparently boring but absolutely essential things so that we have a grasp of water data and water accounting. What's needed? Well, as I say there, much improved metering from bulk offtakes down. I think it's logical you start with the biggest bulk offtakes and you move down in descending order, and that's been picked up in the Prime Minister's plan. But what's needed also are some more sophisticated and trickier things, standards for our data, protocols for data exchange so that we can take data from here and there and pool them, and we expect in the Commission that there will be water, a bit of jargon, knowledge products that emerge from this that we just can't anticipate now. It's a bit like Google. Google has got all this stuff out there almost free, in many cases completely free, and there are now all sorts of products and services that are emerging from that service, which those knowledge and products couldn't have been foreseen. And I expect that water management in Australia will benefit enormously from that. So I expect that there will be all sorts of applications coming on stream quickly for better water management, better water, more effective water markets, and better water policy formulation. Finally, just a couple of slides on some of the NWI challenges for the National Plan. And a point I want to make now and as I conclude is that these challenges have always been there. Many of these challenges led to the National Water Initiative in the first place. But for the people who will be inheriting the very big task of running this new Murray-Darling Plan, or more correctly, the National Plan for Water Security, these are the sorts of things that they'll need to be dealing with. First, I think it's a national embarrassment that there is no agreed definition or set of definitions, there won't be a single one, for what sustainable yields mean. And that's more than what's different about surface water and groundwater. There are all sorts of difficult issues. It's no wonder that there isn't an agreed national definition, but it's so absolutely essential to understand, if not a definition, how we get to, how we think about, how we conceptualise sustainable yield, that a lot of what follows can't follow until we've broken that intellectual barrier. So that's something that we'll be putting our shoulder to this year. Definition or conceptualisation of sustainable yield, and it's, when you think about it, it's absolutely essential for both the NWI and the National Plan. There are the deficiencies in metering data and accounting that I was just talking about, and they will need to be overcome before the Murray-Darling Plan can be given real effect to. Surface water and groundwater, I've said charitably, are not always managed conjunctively. You could go a lot further than that, I think, in across the Murray-Darling Basin. This is a very serious problem. I think that groundwater is going to be one of those issues this year which Australia as a whole, and certainly the MDB, will need to grapple with much more effectively than we have in the past, because we're building ourselves a problem here. We all know it. If you did a poll around the cognoscenti in this room, I think there'd be 90% agreement that groundwater isn't being well managed, and certainly not being conjunctively managed in many areas of the basin. But that's all we say. We just say, yes, there's a problem. So it's certainly on our agenda for the year ahead. Interception. Interception is a little bit out there in timeframes. But what does the NWI say about it? In simple terms, the NWI says that where a catchment is at full allocation or approaching full allocation, there needs to be an entitlement for interception activities. Interception activities, of course, are examples are forestry and in some ways farm dams. There are other examples, land use change of a different form, including urban development. Think about some mining activities and their impact on interception of groundwater. So there's a lot of dimensions to interception that haven't been well articulated yet, and in a similar way that I was worrying about sustainable yields a few minutes ago, we need to come to terms with interception as well. NWI consistent planning. Water planning has a special meaning under the National Water Initiative, it's quite different from planning in a sort of conversational sense. In fact, I've sometimes told the story, I'm sure the Prime Minister wouldn't mind, that the first time I mentioned water planning to the Prime Minister, I saw him stiffen up a bit, saying, well, I'm not in favour of planning. It sounds a bit statist, but NWI planning, of course, is an absolutely essential, common sense and necessary part of better water management in Australia, and the Prime Minister was quick to understand that. But water planning is about understanding what the consumptive pool is, what the needs of the environment are, having people, including environmental and other users, sitting around the table and with reasonable access to decisions in a consultative forum, take decisions which will eventually have legislative backing. So that's a one sentence summary of NWI consistent water planning, and is an absolutely essential part not only of the NWI but of the new regime for the Murray-Darling. So that will be something which will be a big challenge, and for those people here today who've been involved in water planning, it's hard. It's really hard. It raises people's temperatures. There are high stakes, and communities and individual irrigators and environmental groups and representatives all have a lot to say and a lot to feel about it. So it's not easy, and that will continue to be a challenge for the basin. So NWI consistent planning is not yet complete in a few parts of the basin, but in other parts of the basin the plans are locked in, and one of the questions we had earlier to Malcolm was, well, what happens in the future, and what happens to those plans? There are concerns, as you'll see on the bottom of that slide, about water security and the risks of changes in water plans. The government's intention, I understand, is that plans which are locked in need to be observed. But all plans have their review date, their sunset date, and all plans need to be informed by genuine science, and there are processes in place to produce that improvements to science. A couple of other challenges that we'll have to be grappled with. Water trading. As I said, we've banged that drum pretty hard, and we've done that for the best of reasons. There is no doubt that water trading is an absolutely essential part of our water future. Water trading is very familiar and is widely exercised throughout the basin on a temporary and particularly intra-district, but sometimes inter-district basis. What we've been banging the drum about is permanent interstate water trading. There's been some progress made as at the end of last year, in fact, New Year's Eve, I think, to get through the deadline that was imposed as a result of that national competition policy assessment that the National Water Commission did. The National Water Commission is now required to do an assessment of whether those water trading arrangements are satisfactory and do the job. And we're in fact in the process of doing that now, and we'll be reporting not to COAG this time, but to the Australian government about that national competition policy outcome. So trading, very important, but if we can get trading, wherever there are hydrological connections, that will help with resource allocation, environmental management, adjustment, and probably in a great many other ways as well. There are some policy constraints on one form of trading, which is rural-urban water trading, and those policy constraints are in place in some places in the basin. It's the Commission's view that we need to move beyond that, that water trading shouldn't be policy constrained in that way, and that rural-urban trading is a valid form of water trading. However, let's not be bloody-minded about it. Rural-urban trading does have, there's no question about it, does have serious implications for communities, or could have serious implications for communities, and they need to be taken into account. Communities need to be given access to decisions and processes as well, but the idea of a blanket policy ban on rural-urban trading is certainly something that the Commission will urge against. We think that across Australia, and to some extent this is real in the Murray-Darling Basin, there's a lack of clarity and consistency about environmental water management arrangements. The NWI was trying to set out an arrangement for environmental water management and environmental water managers, which gave a lift in profile and resources and status and effectiveness of environmental managers. But in many areas of Australia, when I ask people who their local environmental water manager is, they don't know, not by name, but even the entity who is managing the environmental water. That bears some thinking about. So we would be encouraging more clarity and more consistency about environmental managers, and there are some good and bad practice that can be adopted or avoided. For example, where you place your environmental manager in relation to, say, decision makers about water allocations. Finally, and perhaps most challenging on this list, is the need to observe NWI pricing commitments for, read that as, rural water systems and non-metropolitan urban water systems, town water systems. And that is going to be a big challenge as so many billions of dollars are invested in the Murray-Darling Basin. So I've been given the bell. In short, I guess what I've been trying to say this morning is that there are some very major water management challenges which date from the NWI, in fact date from the origins of the NWI, but this $10 billion investment, particularly in the Murray-Darling Basin, is a terrific opportunity to accelerate progress, as the Prime Minister said. Thanks very much.